Hey everyone, and welcome to this episode of Build It Better. My name is Tracy. You can follow me on Twitter at Lady Leet, and I am here with my co-host Ben Lesh. If you notice, he just drank out of a frozen cup. Very important information. Do you have a favorite character, Ben, in Frozen?
Do I? I kind of like the whole Sven and what's the
Is Sven the snowman?
No, Sven's the reindeer. I thought Kristoff and Sven. Yeah. So I like the guy and his reindeer. I think they're funny.
They need to do like a spin-off cartoon series of them.
They should.
Yeah,
I would watch.
And that. I'm joined by Maggie, who is also joining us in the land of Disney today. Hi, Maggie.
Hello. I have got Coco ears, and actually I have never seen Coco. I was just in Disneyland.
Never? And
like, yeah. Should I watch it?
What if you
should.
Hate it?
It's good. I literally watched it like last week.
Okay, but Maggie, are you cool with spoilers?
Sure. Spoiler okay. me.
Ben, what is her superhero magic thing that she finally gets? So I only watched the first like 20 minutes, maybe 15.
Wait, the superhero magic thing? What,
like does she get? Doesn't Coco? She get like a?
No. You're confusing Coco with
Encanto.
Encanto. Yeah.
Oh, which I have seen.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. Coco's the one where they like it's like the Day of the Dead stuff where they like go
right.
to the afterlife.
That's yep. right.
Okay. Yeah. But spoilers. Tell me, does she ever get a superpower?
For Encanto?
Yeah.
All right. Do you really want me to spoil that for you?
Yes.
Technically, yes and no. Like, she's the one that, like, glues the whole family back together, like her grandma does. Okay. So whether or not it's a superpower is debatable. The really funny thing is, at the end, like, I think I tweeted about this the other day. I was like, wait, did she actually get a room or didn't she? Like, they never really explained that. Like, is she still living in the nursery? Because, like, yeah, we got the house back together, but, you know, I have a room yet, or... And where was the grandma staying? I don't think anyone specified that either. So it's like she's sleeping on the couch.
Sorry for all the spoilers.
That movie was deep though, right? Like that's about generational trauma and meeting familial expectations. Like I was like, this goes hard.
Yeah.
It's amazing what trauma can do too. But then, you know, you think about, okay, we're going to get into tech in a second, but side note, isn't it funny how we're all raising our children these days? And we're raising our children based on the trauma that we had. So we're like correcting, but then it's like, what kind of trauma are kids going to have because we're correcting our trauma? What trauma are we inflicting on them?
Right.
Whose trauma was better?
Like I would, as an example, I would never ever raise a finger to like my kids at all. Like I would never touch my kids, like even with a spank or anything. I don't do that. But like, part of me wonders sometimes, like, are they going to be awful because I shirked like thousands of years of human, like, here's how we raise kids. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, I don't know. I mean, they seem like they're turning out okay, but.
To smack your kids or to not smack your kids.
All right.
So
probably shouldn't, in my opinion. That's just
my kids' school has a policy that the lowest grade is 50%, even if you didn't turn in the assignment on homework.
What?
And I'm like, how are they gonna like?
It's like, so what? I'll get 50%. YOLO.
Yeah. So anyways, it's interesting.
It's like having a job that you can't be fired from.
Right?
Okay. Well, getting into tech, Maggie, introduce yourself because you didn't tell us about yourself. And you're one of the most amazing women in tech that I know. So.
Cool. So I'm Maggie Johnson Pint. I am the co-founder of a little seed stage startup called Stanza, and we help you build more reliable software by building UIs that are responsive to the infrastructure, which I'll get into later. Historically, I'm a front-end developer. I accidentally walked into the SRE space when I worked at Microsoft. For any sufficiently large internal tools team, they eventually hire a front-end developer, and I was that. And I got super into what is reliability and how does that intersect with the stuff we do in front-end. So I think a lot about that. And other than that, some people know me in JavaScript from, I was the original author of Temporal, which is coming to you soon. We will have better dates. It is in the TC39 at the end of the process to get us all new date time in JavaScript, so it doesn't suck as much.
That's such a short blurb for something that's a really big deal.
Better days.
What did you do? That needs like a crash course in how to get like things through TC39 so we can like finally have observables.
Oh, the temporal thing, like it's a shame it doesn't come attached to a time machine, so you couldn't just go back and just like add it. Because it's needed so badly. It's ridiculous.
To be clear, like I call myself the original author. I really need the credit for my husband authored on some of it. Philip Dunkel authored on a lot of it at Bloomberg. It has been through many hands because it has been so long. We started in 2017. So like I don't want to take any like full credit for that thing. Like there's been about 6 people who have been instrumental to it, but it's coming.
Yep. Every time I ever hear like a non-technical, like my parents or somebody be like anything about times or schedules and be like, well, it's a computer. Why can't they just, and I'm just like, stop.
don't. You can't just. Yeah. On the subject of times and reliability, one of the largest incidents in Azure history was that they had some C++ code that took the year, and to get a year from today, it added 1 to the numeric year. And on February 29th, because it was critical path code, it took out like the entirety of Azure. This was quite a while ago, not like back in 2012. But on the subject of reliability, dates are a big one.
Neat.
That's fun. That's fun.
That's what I was saying before we started the podcast. I was telling Maggie that I love a good train wreck.
isn't that one and there's a whole static analysis program to like look for that kind of code inside of Azure now because of that issue.
What's so annoying is like, you know, in life, you know, it's like rules don't happen until somebody F's up, right? Like, and you can apply that across the entire, like I have an Airbnb and I have so many rules. Don't smoke weed in my house, please. Please don't play beer pong in my house and have alcohol all over the ground. Please, you know, just like the most random things ever, but kind of the same thing, right? Like now there's this, or like you think about 9/11, right? Like now everybody has to take off their shoes.
Yep.
It's like there's rules because people decide to break the rules. So how do we just like reset and just like not have any more rules because everyone is like not a dumb human?
So I think that's actually a really interesting topic in reliability, because of course, if you run around an organization and you just yell at people like you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that. What you get is a whole lot of annoyed people. And probably there's lots of listeners who have worked in a corporation that like,
and that's why sysadmins are like so grumpy.
Yeah. what we really should do is design systems that are a lot more human-centered, that make it a lot easier to do the right thing in the first place. And I think that's, you can get into something called human factors in design. And this is a space that a lot of people who are kind of in the broader SRE community circles talk about a lot. It's like, how do we redesign our systems so that you can't mess up, or if you need to do something specialized or weird or corner cased, you know that you're doing that. And it's not just like people can kind of go ham on systems. And there's a lot of interesting like thought there.
Maggie, that just brings up such a good point, because it's just like it just makes me think of like all the checklists, right? Like I think for site reliability, like it's just like, okay, you have like these 10 million checklists. Okay, so this is hell. Like let's redesign how we're thinking about it generally. But like, what about CI/CD too, right? Like, it's like, well, do we have to have all these crazy rules? Like, what are we doing wrong? Like, should we be thinking about problems in different ways? So,
yeah. And I think that's a challenge. Like we definitely saw in the reliability space and in the infra space, this explosion of like, we're going to make rules, we're going to make gates, we're going to make builds, we're going to make environments. And it's becoming really expensive for people, frankly, right? And then you see this pushback to like, well, let's go to test in production. Let's go to fast CI/CD. I think another area that not enough thought has been given to, and this is what Stanza does, not that I want to like sit there and shameless pitch the company, but when something does go wrong, can we lessen the impact of that? Instead of having the thing that goes wrong become apocalyptic, can we do something to build so that the system just adapts a little or changes its pattern of behavior a little to make it so that we don't see that kind of cascading failure mode? And I think those are sort of the more like interesting questions in the space now, is when something problematic is happening for users, can we make it more clear than what's happening? Can we take things out of the way? Can we drop the number of things that we're showing in our UI? Can we drop requests, or can we change things so that users don't experience the problem that they're having? And just do that in production. Like, don't spend all of this time making rules. Just spend time building adaptively and working adaptively so that when things do happen, we can just work through it.
Tell me more about these cascading failures, because I'm telling you, I really like
it. He loves a good train wreck. Okay.
So one that I saw last week that's actually really common was Blue Sky. For those of you who has a Blue Sky account, like who got in?
I mean, whoever has an account needs to send me an account. So
yeah,
I'm waiting.
I have one, but you have to be on there for 2 weeks before they give you a code or something. So
yeah. I haven't even gotten my first code yet, but I did get OG Maggie. Like maggie.bsky.app. I was like, whoa, all right. But anyways, Blue Sky had an interesting one. They were growing, they had to grow their database to like a larger scale. They need a bigger database because obviously like they're viral right now. And they tweeted like, hey, we're gonna have to do a plan maintenance here to bring up to a bigger database, and it'll take about this long. And they had something really common happen, which is that they took the system down, they did the upgrade, and then users just like sat there hitting F5 over and over and over and over again. And it took them probably 10, 20 minutes longer to come up. Like they were blue skying this. It took them 10, 20 minutes longer to come up than it should have, because what was going on is that the minute anything would come up at all, it would get just slammed by requests and it would go back down, and it took them longer to actually like get enough hosts there to be serving people. And this is something that you see pretty commonly. Another kind of like cascading failure scenario we saw like that was the Taylor Swift tickets with Ticketmaster. People just slammed that site. And you know, it's interesting because in Ticketmaster's case, I think it was actually quite a mixed bag. Like, I don't know personally, but I think it was actually quite a mixed bag of like perhaps some overload, but perhaps also people just really wanting Tay tickets and they're literally not being enough. So I think both things were happening there.
Tracy, are you a Swiftie?
So when I was a teenager, I really loved Taylor Swift, and I love like her first everything, you know, like Romance, like Heartthrob, like, oh my gosh. But now I like it, but I'm not like, I'm obsessed and I'm looking for all the clues for blah, blah, you know, whatever. So
it wasn't your ticket request that took it down that day.
I mean, it'd be nice if it was. But I know she just sang in Nashville like 2 weekends ago, or last weekend, or this weekend. No, it was this weekend. So,
yeah. For both of those failure modes, one thing that I think we don't think a lot about enough as front end developers is like, what can we do? Like, we just look and we go, oh, that system went down. But what's interesting is that as front-end developers, oftentimes we know, like we guiltily know, that we're actually blasting off like 15 requests a page load. And in a lot of cases, like with the Blue Sky case, what would be nice would be to have a system where we know that the infrastructure is not capable of serving right now, and to just in the client stop those requests from coming, right? Just put up a message, say, hey, these requests can't actually come right now. And it actually gets the whole system up faster. A lot of times in e-commerce, what we can do is we can drop things like the on sale banners.
Oh, you know. Yes. I am a fan of, I'm not a fan of this, but it's like, okay, Lilly Pulitzer, right? A brand that I told myself I would hate forever. Now yep. I love. But it's like, okay, goes on sale 8 a.m. You log in at 7:55. You're like the 12,000th person in line.
Yep.
Why?
Yep. Exactly. And if we just kind of let some things go that aren't critical to the system, we can mitigate that a lot. And yeah. Interestingly, if you talk to like really advanced companies, Netflix already does this, right? Amazon already does this. You know, when I talk to engineers and I talk about what we're building a standard, they're like, oh yeah, well, we do that. We totally have this thing that tells the front end to pull down into degraded states. One of my engineers was on the team that built it for Slack. If in Slack you've ever gotten like this thing where you push a button to refresh your messages, that's an explicit design that they made for system stress, where when they couldn't keep all of those server sent events up, they switched to polling, user initiated polling.
So Ben, this is all your fault.
It is. My solution for this would just be to tell random users that they've been banned. Like you're never getting in again. I'm sorry.
I mean, it would be fun, right?
Like, right. And then send an email like 20 minutes later. Just kidding. We were just trying to keep you from spamming the server. I'm sorry.
I mean, you know, one thing that is interesting that I think gets missed a lot in discussions of reliability and failure modes is that actually users can't, like end-to-end users can't tell the difference between reliability and your bad UX. Like when I started getting into this space, I would talk to people who don't work on computers and I'd be like, what is reliable software to you? And they'd be like, well, when I click the button and then I can't find the thing and then it's slow, that's really unreliable. And like, it's interesting because in engineering land, we'll be like, well, it's nines. Like, do you have seven nines? No, nobody has seven nines. Do you have five nines? Do you have four nines? But to the user, it's none of that. It's whether they could complete the thing that they were doing
without. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes it's outside of your control. I was playing a game the other day with my son, and our internet started to slow down for, I needed to go bounce the router or whatever. But like, we're playing a game. I hear him getting so mad, and he's like, this game is trash. And you can see like the game is jumping around because like, you know, our network traffic has gone to crap. It's not the game. It's our internet connection is sucking in. But he was just totally like 100% whoever made this game sucks. Like, so, he was so mad at the game developers because I needed to go bounce the router upstairs. I'm like, dude, it's just the internet connection. But you're right. He went straight to blaming bad user experience. It was not like, yep. There was not like a reliability problem with our internet connection or anything. It was just like, this user experience sucks. And it's this company's. Yeah.
And this is the way I want to rethink it, right? Like reliability isn't a number of nines because it's expensive to maintain too. Like right. It's super expensive to provision infrastructure and have five nines. It's
so what would like a video game do in that case? I guess you'd have to be like some sort of your internet connection's unreliable sort of.
Oh, and
it's not me, it's you.
Yeah, they need to pop it. But they can also do things like pull out chat capabilities and certain things like that. Yeah. And at times that helps them. The games are really tough because of the latency requirements.
Sure, yeah, yeah. Of course, of course.
Well, Maggie, you're blowing my mind because I'm like, oh no, it's another thing we have to worry about as developers, like front-end developers, right? Because like, you know, in the beginning, it was just like, oh yeah, I'm a front-end developer. And then it's like, oh my God, performance. Oh my God, accessibility. And you're like, oh my God, site reliability. Ah!
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think in some ways though, it's not a whole lot different than performance. Like it fits into a lot of the work we do on performance. And I think everyone in front end is well aware that like your performance is only as good as what the server will give you, right? So I think it folds into that space. And in some cases, especially like with Stanza, we do a two-way communication where you can tell the server team like, hey, this is really important to me and this is less important to me on any requests you send. And then our software will actually let you prioritize the more important requests faster, sooner. So in some cases where we can kind of give control and power back to people, we can make things easier, but it's all reframing things so that instead of having everything be equally important and coming and slamming into things, we have a two-way with those teams. And I know that's hard in a lot of orgs.
What do startups do to make it easier for them?
They pivot every 2 weeks.
They pivot every 2 weeks, yeah.
And you don't have to worry about how slow your stuff is if you're just going to rewrite it in 2 weeks anyway.
That's what you do, Maggie, right? Rewrite everything every 2 weeks?
No. Oh, gosh. I can't even imagine. No.
Just kidding. I'm yeah, it's be fun.
Not every
in a different
weeks.
Technology every
yeah,
2 weeks.
Yeah, it's not every 2 weeks. It's just before and after funding rounds, I think, is when those yeah. pivots happen.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. Yeah. I mean, everybody needs a pivot into ML, right? Like we are doing that. We are starting to write some ML models to detect when systems are down and tell front-end developers like, hey, this is going to be down preemptively so that they don't have to write backoffs.
Yep.
So then yeah.
The ML models that will write the ML models that, yeah.
In a perfect world, like, ideally.
Is it a perfect world, though? Do we want to know what that world is? There needs to be some sort of, like, weird simulation where, like, we can put the world in, like, a little box or something and then, like, see what truly happens to
Tracy,
AI.
We're in that simulation right now.
Well, it'd be nice if we weren't in the simulation, you Wait, know?
I need to get a tinfoil hat to put on every time I say something like that on one of these shows. Just like,
yeah.
Where's my tinfoil hat? This is a tinfoil lined hat.
I'm sure there's tinfoil. Oh my God, tinfoil lined ears, like little Mickey right? Mouse ears. It'd be so Radar. Cute. Yeah. Could
be a pickup radio.
Well, Maggie, this is so much fun. How do we find you on the internet?
You can, I guess, find me on Twitter as @MaggiePint. Blue Sky as OG Maggie. I mentioned mm-hmm. that one earlier. And if you want to find the company, we're at stanza.systems.
Cool.
So just so everybody that's made it this far, I want you to know that if you thought it was Maggie Pint, you're not alone. That's what I thought too. So I'm so sorry, Maggie. I thought it was Pint. I read it in my head as Pint so many times.
No, it's Pint.
And now I know. Now I know. It's
I don't care. Like, my name is spelled like an English word, but pronounced differently. That's rough for people.
That's all right. My last name is spelled like utter nonsense. And like, it's not even a word from any language. It's just Lesh. Like, it's, I think it was just made up when people.
Okay, but the real nonsense. Question is, are English muffins called English muffins in the UK? Or are they just called muffins?
Maybe they're called American muffins. Maybe they switch.
I can ask my Irish coworkers.
It's a very important question.
Yeah, they're very authoritative on those issues.
And did you know an English muffin is not a crumpet?
I did not know that.
I think I did know that.
But they both have nooks and crannies, so you know, we as Americans are just confused. All right, we got to end with the would you rather question.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay. Would you rather swim in the ocean with sharks or eat live jellyfish?
Wait, what?
ChatGPT did not help me with that one. I came up with it myself.
Okay.
I was
waiting for like a reliability related one, and that was just those out there. Would you rather swim in the ocean with sharks or deploy your infrastructure with your personal machine? Like, I don't know. Like, I was. I'm picking sharks in that one. Eating a live jellyfish just sounds bad in every conceivable way.
Same. Like, there's probably a way to get away from the shark. Like, once right. you're eating the jellyfish, you're in, you're stuck.
Are all jellyfish poisonous? I mean, they all have stings, right?
I don't know. But I think the sharks, if you just found the biggest, meanest shark and made an example out of him, the other ones would leave you alone. That's what I would like. It's like prison rules, right?
They aren't as
well. If you start singing Baby Shark, maybe they'll all start dancing with you.
Right.
Baby Shark. Did. Okay. Yes. My children. Yes. Yep. Okay. Here we go. Would you rather, thank you, ChatGPT, would you rather deal with a single catastrophic outage that takes down your site for 24 hours, but can be easily fixed with minimal effort, or deal with multiple smaller outages that occur frequently and require a significant amount of effort to diagnose and fix each time? We all know what we're going to pick here.
Yeah. I mean, if one's easy to fix, then why wouldn't I pick that one?
Catastrophic. Like, the hardest thing in organizations is collating the actual like impact of all the small outages. That's yeah. the worst. That's the hardest thing. That's
although the catastrophic failure, there's always like some big wig will get it, and then you have to go sit in a bunch of meetings for days and days afterwards doing the retrospective on the catastrophic failure.
I used to prep those meetings at Microsoft. You know, like there's always someone who has to prep the content for the executives.
Those are the meetings I fall asleep in. Like if I worked corporate and I had to go into meetings, I would be the one falling asleep every single time. How horrible is that, y'all?
Right. Like, yeah, yeah. It's one of those where you've got like a screenshot of you like this in your Zoom. And like, meanwhile, it's just a screenshot and you're like passed out.
But if I have to like sit in a meeting like with people, that's when I get sleepy and want to pass out when they're boring.
So like in the big corporation, like there's politics to it, right? And so I always got great joy from them because whenever you get like an executive vice president, like a high level exec in a meeting, you got to watch that like Game of Thrones. Like you got to know who's in, you got to know who's upset with who. And then like, oh, they're so entertaining though.
Oh my gosh, that's really fun. I never thought about it that way.
Oh, that's the only way. I did reliability forms at Microsoft for a while and it was good viewing. It was good viewing. I did reliability and I did support case reduction and they were both good.
Oh. Well, everyone check out Stanza. Let us know your thoughts in the comments below or on Twitter. We're always happy to chat and we'll see you next time.